Welcome to Parents Perspective. I'm Sandy Burt. Today, we're delighted to have our four returning experts on teenagers as we continue our discussion on what teens would like their parents to know.
I'm Linda Perlis. With us again today are four students, Sonia, a senior in high school.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Tim, a junior in high school.
Hi, great to be here.
Hugh, a sophomore.
Wonderful to be here.
And Paula, an eighth grader.
Hello.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. One concern adults seem to focus on these days is values, or the lack of values we're instilling in our children and teens. How do you feel you acquired your values?
I find that my values come pretty much, if you were to break it down in a sort of superficial percentage, probably a good 80% of them would come directly from my father. I agree with his values in life, and some of them are extremely conventional and others aren't. I find that values are probably the biggest tool that parents can use to steer kids away from what they would want them to avoid, like drugs or alcohol or certain people or certain activities. Because if they believe that doing drugs is wrong or hanging out with a certain group of people is wrong or talking down to certain people is wrong, then they're not going to do it. Health facts aren't nearly as much as a deterrent in terms of behavior than if you believe it's wrong. I mean, teens hold values. Whether or not they're your values or not, they hold them. And if you work hard to get a parent's values into them, then they'll probably play by your rules without even saying them.
In terms of the parents projecting the values in what they do, that's the way rather than telling?
Certainly. If I believe that doing X is wrong, I'm going to be much more readily to follow an unspoken rule of not doing X than if I'm saying don't do X because I don't want you doing it. I mean, if you put all these obscure rules up and you don't have the fabric of the value that's instilled or is trying to be instilled, then all is lost. I mean, no kid is going to follow these random rules of, oh, don't do this and don't do that. If there's an underlying theme as of take care of yourself and be good to others, then kids are much more likely to follow this. And I think some kids get it through religion, other kids get it through strong parents in terms of moral character. Others, in fact, don't get their values from parents at all. They get them from friends or even other people's parents.
I think something else that's important, at least for me, is that the values that I've gotten from my parents are consistent with the other values I get from school and from my parents' friends. And I think that's been really helpful, that I've never kind of gotten these really conflicting signals, that the things that my school stressed as important and the ideals that they try to instill in their students is the same as what my parents stress as important and what my parents think are important. So I think that's been really helpful in giving me kind of a consistent idea about the type of values I want to have.
And the best way to influence how and why and if your kids do things is to teach them that it's wrong and why it's wrong. I mean, if you just say it's bad, it's wrong, then they're not going to understand why and therefore they're not going to do it. The best way to influence someone is to instill morals. That's the only way to truly influence how he acts independently.
Or so no lectures, right?
Lectures usually just sort of tune out after about a minute into it.
But explanations are important.
Yeah.
Okay. For each of you at this point in your lives, who is or was the most outstanding role model for you?
Probably just my father.
Okay. Why is that?
I don't think he would be if our family kind of suffered some like hard times, and I wouldn't really have believed he would have been nearly as morally righteous and strong if he hadn't been put to those sort of grueling tests. So I don't think I would have considered him to be my largest role model, but he's sort of helped me out in many a jam and never really, kind of held that against me. And he definitely would be considered my top role model. I also have other, role models in terms of just little qualities that I want to get, but he definitely would be the primary role model.
I don't think I have one main role model. I think it's like I admire so many different people for so many different things. Like my mom, I admire how like she's such a great mom and she knows how to please all of her kids and while she works at the same time. And I'd really love to be a mom like that when I grow up. But on the other hand, I admire my dad because he just acts like he knows exactly, you know, where we're coming from, and he's great about that.
Would you pick teachers and maybe famous people and other people's parents in those categories?
If you make a famous person your role model, you don't normally meet famous people and you don't know what they're actually like. So it's hard to act like them if you don't know how they act.
And you might not want to if you really knew how they act.
For me, it's always been important, in addition to my parents and kind of the people who are standard role models, to have adults in my life who aren't parents who I'm really close with. And so, for instance, I have my aunt who I'm really close with and I talk to a lot. And there's a teacher at my school who has never actually been my teacher, but who I go to a lot. And I think it's been really nice having them as role models because they're really accessible and they help me out a lot. But they're not my parents, so they kind of seem to be able to provide me with a lot of advice that my parents couldn't necessarily. So,
and it's nice to have other adults that care about you that don't have to. Yeah. They must care about you because you're really worth caring about.
How about time spent at home? What do you like about being with your family? Do you think it's important for teens to spend some time together with their families?
Everybody's thinking, do I have to?
It's good to spend time with your parents and the rest of your family, but a lot of times I just like to sit in my room and like do other stuff and just sort of go solo for a little while and then talk to my parents. Like, 'cause I truly do like hanging out with my parents. But sometimes, you know, you gotta have some time to yourself, especially at home. For instance, dinner time is a good time to talk to your parents about your day and stuff like that, but sleeping time is not.
Do you find that it's a good idea, all of you, to have a specific point every day where you know that you can count on connecting with your family?
For example, our family, every single night we have dinner together. I mean, my whole family is really busy. My parents work late. All of us have soccer practice or dance class or whatever, wherever we are. And at the end of the day, we always have dinner together. Even sometimes we eat really late, but we always know that dinner time is that 45 minutes that we can all be together and talk about our days.
And yeah. You like that, it sounds like?
Yeah, it's nice.
My family's always had dinner together also every day. And I think that it's just been a really nice time. Even if you don't have to talk about what did you do today, it's just really nice to kind of see your parents and have them home and just be able to kind of sit and be with them.
I actually never have dinner with my family, ever. We don't have a set time or anything, partly because I get home late because of practice stuff, and also my father's it works a career that kind of allows him to be pulled away a lot, kind of out of his hands. But I think it can be used as a useful tool to keep in touch with people. But I don't think it's necessary as long as you have other times. Whenever we're in the house together and we have nothing to do, we always just strike up a conversation. And I think that's just as effective as setting a time. We just don't really have the luxury of, you know, having that sort of consistency in our lives.
That's there with me, too. We like to have dinner together, but often we don't get to. Because I get home real late from practice. And sometimes my dad has to work late or my mom has book group or something like that. And there's often times when the family doesn't get to come together for dinner. But there are other times when we just do come together. Like the other night we all watched a bunch of movies together just because we were all at home.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion of what teens want their parents to know.
Two excellent books written by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, are available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Well, Welcome back to Parents Perspective and our special group of teenage guests. Today we are discussing with them what teens want their parents to know. Sometimes people have family game night, sometimes people have breakfast that's a special time, and sometimes they just find it.
Yeah, I think sometimes it gets a little weird when it's planned time. Like, for instance, my family is usually just all home on Sundays because it's kind of our day to be at home and relax. And a lot of times when we were young, we would all go for a bike ride on a Sunday, or my dad would take me and my brother to go play tennis or something like that. And I think that that was really nice time, but it wasn't like fixed every Sunday was going to be like family time, because I feel like then things start feeling so fake that it just loses a little bit of its effect.
Yeah, my family runs basically the same way. On the weekends, it's sort of family time, but it's not fixed that you can't go out with friends ever on weekends because you have to be with family. It's just sort of like we're all around the house, we all go do something, and even if it's not like a trip to be together, like when we were little, we used to go to zoos or museums or something, but now that we're older, it's more like, oh, Jamie, my older brother, has a soccer game, let's all go and watch and spend time together. Or just, you know, things that someone wants to do in the family and everyone joins them just because, you know, it's a good
nice point. To be together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this is a sort of in the future question, so you have to screw your mind into a different dimension. Do you ever think about goals, where you would like to be in 5 or 6 years or 10 or 12 years or anything like that? And if you do, have you ever shared these thoughts or about goals with a parent or another adult or maybe just with a friend?
I share goals. Mostly the ones that I share usually are with my father, but they're kind of poking fun at him to see what he would do. You know, just things that he detests. If I was a high-performance race car driver, a stuntman.
What would freak him out the most?
Yeah. Basically, you know, there's select careers that would either be really dangerous or he detests or something. And sometimes I talk with my friends who are thinking about where they're going. If I considered being a lawyer or a doctor, and I have friends that definitely want to go down that path, I talk to them about why they want to do that. It's kind of a scary thing to think that we're coming to that age where we would even need to consider that. So I kind of just run away and head in the sand sort of approach.
I bet you're not alone.
It's becoming more and more of a type of conversation that my parents like to ask me. Like, Tim, what are your goals? What do you want to be in life? What college do you want to go to?
You like to hear that?
Not really, but it comes up a lot. And it sort of forces you to think about it. I talk to my parents because they ask me about it, and then I talk to people who are already down that path, like people who go to the college that I might like to go to, or people who are in a field I might be considering, just stuff like that. And that's who I talk to about my goals. And I mean, people who can actually help me achieve them, and people who know about them, because just asking someone randomly, they're like, I don't know, you know.
Sometimes summer opportunities give you chances to try out some of the things that you think may be goals, either career-wise or travel-wise or whatever. I know some of my kids tried out various summer activities and quickly ruled out that career or that idea, but at least it was good. It was a summer opportunity.
I don't really like the idea of having fixed goals because I don't like to think that I'm determining my path or limiting myself at this point, that I really like to look at, you know, my future, the next 5 or 6 years is like a time to really just live it as I get there and kind of figure out what I'm interested in as I find those things, and not really try to go into my college experience with anything in my mind already. But I think that in some ways that can be seen as a goal, that my goal is really just not to, you know, limit myself or pin myself down at this point, because that's not really where I am.
It's hard to pin yourselves down at this point, but it's interesting to let your minds wander and think about all the different things. I have one son, Hugh, who keeps telling me, now he's 28 years old, he tells me now and then, you know, I'm still considering being a pro football player, because he knows I get all upset. What calms you down when you're stressed out?
Talking to friends really calms me down, because they find a way to joke around about it and just make you sort of feel better and not really as down and stuff. So I like talking to them.
Friends play a pretty important role in your life.
Yeah, I'd say when I'm really stressed out, if I hang out with my friends, even if we're not doing anything, even if we're like just watching a movie, not talking at all, it still calms me down. Even if you're not talking about the problem, it's still almost an escape from the problem you have to deal with, because you're hanging out with people you know, who like you, and people who obviously want to hang out with you because they're hanging out with you. I think friends sort of calms me down the most.
I think in the past year or so, I've found more and more things to do by myself to help calm my stress. I've started playing the piano a lot more seriously because I find that that time that I have to myself really relaxes me. Another thing is that I try to do some yoga or artwork, or just really try to find activities that I can do by myself that take my mind off things and that kind of focus my energy elsewhere. And I think that that's been a really neat outlet for me in the past few months.
Something you can take with you. You don't have to have friends around you to do it then, huh?
Yeah, and sometimes, I mean, I really do value the time I spend with my friends, but sometimes I have found a lot more lately that I just really need to be alone and need to work things out on my own.
I would have to agree with Sonia. I mean, this has probably just been a change in the last year. I used to, if I were flipping out about a test that I was having, I would call somebody, one of my good friends, and he'd be like, oh, don't worry about it, it's fine, just relax. And he's a very sort of chilled out, relaxed guy. But then as the year progressed, I started realizing the reason he was so relaxed is he was acing the course the entire time. So, and that was always in the back of my mind. It was very frustrating. So I, like Sonia, started mainly music, listening to music, because I don't exactly have any sort of musical talent. So, but, and it's you know, select music, like a lot of, like, sort of Hawaiian island bands and just kind of relaxed stuff and just kind of spacing out. And also sleep is good.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion of what teens want their parents to know.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parents Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective and our special group of teenage guests. Today we are discussing with them what teens want their parents to know.
Okay, we've gotten some ways to lessen the stress, but what stresses you out the most these days?
When I get a bad grade on a test or in a course or something, I get really frustrated, and I'm like, well, maybe I should start studying a lot more. But it's hard to study more than I am because I am studying, and then I got so many other things to do, it's sort of hard to find more time to study. And so maybe I'm like, well, maybe it was just, you know, I wasn't thinking when I was taking the test, so I go over the information, and I think I know it, and then it comes up again later, and it's just hard. Like, when I don't understand something completely in school, it's very frustrating. Like in math, when they introduce a new concept, if I don't grasp it right away, it really makes me annoyed.
Right now I'm not really stressed out at all, but I think the thing that would stress me out the most is deadlines. That I've always found that having deadlines in my mind, especially if they're kind of far off and I know I need to start working, kind of this point in my future where I have to get something done by, has always been something that's stressed me out a bit.
A really full schedule can stress someone out pretty well. If you don't have any time to just sit back and do something. Something like either alone, like a hobby or something, or with friends, then just not having any time to do anything that you want to do, just, it wears you down, it stresses you out. I think that's what stresses me out the most, and that sort of has to do with deadlines too, because it's like I need to be a certain place at a certain time and I can't be late, and I think that's what stresses me out the most.
In some way I agree with that, but other ways, I think that not having anything to do is more, maybe not stressful, but frustrating than having stuff to do. I sort of like having a full schedule because I have a place to be, and if I don't, I find myself in the house eating or something. Whereas if I have something to do, I'm out either getting exercise or studying or out with friends or doing something. But when I don't have something to do, I find myself at home thinking about something I should be doing when I'm not doing it. So I like having a full schedule.
So there's a little bit of a juggling act between the downtime and the uptime, and too much of either one is stressful.
What do you think would facilitate better communication between teens and adults?
Probably more candidness, a little bit more honesty upon both sides. You know, you see, if you go to a friend's house and you see the interaction, you can see both where the parent's not telling the truth, the teen's stretching the truth, you know. Oh, you know, be back by, you know, 9:30. I was back by 9:30 every night. Oh, okay, we're going to the movies. Number one, you realize the parents weren't back by 9:30, and you're not going to the movies. So you can, and it's these are everyday kind of interactions, and it's kind of interesting how parents and teens kind of are kind of passive aggressive with each other throughout these conversations, implying things and hinting at things. And I think if parents were a little more honest, if they're like, well, I'm going to get kind of ticked off at you if you come back past one. I did it, but I stopped doing it, and I followed it for the most part. You should, too. Myself as a teen would look at that and be like, oh, okay, you know, they're taking the time and having the respect for me enough to be candid and honest with me, then I should, you know, do the same. Likewise, if they're going to completely pawn off, you know, this, oh, I was a perfect child, then, oh, yeah, so am I, you know.
None of this business of lectures and rules. Rather, you'd like to hear us say, well, my messages are more valuable.
Sure.
To you.
That way it seems a little bit more real and realistic.
Yeah, just sorry to add on to that I think something that's really helped my relationship with my parents, especially concerning things like alcohol and drug use, is how honest they are about their experiences, and that they've never kind of denied to me the fact that they experimented with drugs or that they drank, and they've never tried to make it seem like they never had these experiences. And I think that's helped me a lot, because I felt like I could talk to them about my experiences because they also had them, that they really never tried to pretend like they were someone who they're not, and so I never had to pretend either. And I think that really facilitated better communication between us.
Anything about other adults that you deal with that would be helpful for them to know in terms of communication? Teachers, coaches?
Well, I think teachers expect too much from students. I think they'll have like a long-term assignment that you should be working on, and then they'll give you homework assignments, you know, for every night. And then they'll be, well, we have this coming up, so study for this. And then if someone doesn't do their homework, they're totally shocked that they're not performing. But what they don't realize is how incredibly hard it is for everyone to not only do it for 7 classes, but have like 3 different assignments for every single class. And it's really stressful on the students, and the teachers tend to not realize that. I don't think it's right that the student makes up excuses, oh yeah, my dog ate it, or you know, whatever their excuse is. I don't think that's appropriate, but I think that the teachers should realize if they're going to continue giving us that much work, they shouldn't make it seem like, oh, well, we're barely giving you any work, so you should do it because we're not giving you that much and it's not hard. But they don't realize that it is hard what they're giving you plus 6 other teachers. So, yeah, I think that should be...
Expectations should be more realistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there anything that we haven't addressed yet that you'd like to bring up or talk about before we close?
I think it's important that parents really take a step back and realize that teenagers realize that they're young and that they're healthy and they have all this energy, and they've been given this opportunity to try and pack as much in life for those short few years that they can. And I think parents mainly need to be realistic in the fact that they don't have a second shot at this. If they come back and they say, oh, well, you can't redo your teenage years, and that there are going to be failures and there are going to be things and disappointments, but that the reason that teenagers, for the most part, are so hectic and trying to fit everything in is because we're trying to do a lot all in a very short period of time. And we're just trying to make the most out of the years that adults reflect upon as their best. We're trying to make them our best as well.
Yeah, occasionally we do actually know what we're doing. Not very often, but often we do. Occasionally we do know what we think is in our best interest. And sometimes we don't see eye to eye, but in general, I think parents and kids are able to get along pretty well.
You all have done a wonderful job of educating us and parents worldwide about things that their teenagers would really like them to know. So thank you so much, Sonia, Tim, Hugh, and Paula.
Thank you.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and mention show number 145. Tell us what station you're listening to if you can. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids are both available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents Perspective and our books, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.